Brass Ducks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, good morning.
My greetings.
To you too, sir.
And does Michelle, good greetings to Michelle morning. And greetings to the listeners. Well, Mr. Johnson, well, I hear a caller call there's no some brass that slings free. Are you some brass that slings free?
Only when I on.
Well, I said, well, let me get in there, man. But no, I just want to make a two contributions. This will be brief. No, people just complain and talk about the regular cars calling. But the line's free now. You know what I mean? And listen, Johnson, have you ever listened to a social media contribution? It can't come from brass tacks. Because you won't hear nothing. You're laughing.
No, I am not, sir. That's not a humorous laugh. That is, I know what you're talking about, laugh, because if you listen to some people trying to read WhatsApp messages, you realize how difficult it is for them to read through the the exclamation marks and the other things.
I'm serious, brother. I
know you are.
All I can hear is when they were describing the COVID-19, how bad is dealing with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, customers, no, these can't call bad stuff, but that's off the heaven. We even got forward the statement. And you know, they got something to be timid to work. So I really encourage people, man, just take out the phone, prepare yourself, and talk. Nobody can laugh at you because you're listening.
So I do not believe, right? And this is just my belief. I really do not believe the legion of people who say we've been trying to get through for ages and can't get through. Because most of those people, when they call you offline, tell you what they want to tell you and say, don't call my name because people know who I am. I say, but I don't know who you are. You haven't told me your name. And two, people will recognize my voice. So I know that they really don't want to call Brass Tacks live on air. Anyhow, that's an excuse that, you know, there are moderators, I will admit, who prior to them sitting down in the chair, all the lights would be on because I'm the producer and I see the lights. So it's a 50-50 thing.
But I want to say something also before you go on, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Another thing I've got to try to convince people, they do not know the phone number that calling. To be telling me, madam,
no,
who
don't.
Calling.
So no,
that
we don't.
Is not true. They don't know any caller ID. You know what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
I got to the conversation, you know, it don't work. So, my name is no who call, man. They can trace you call. I said, it don't work. So.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
I know, but I'm getting about my contribution there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say this here. Peter said he got a picture of something that the person showed him and they want to know what they could do with it. I would just like to say this here, right? Just be contented. I get a little box for the constituency. It's just a small little box with a few items. I was thankful, you know. I mean, like, if people give genuinely, you Mr. Johnson, get a fish. Someone get chicken. Someone get some apples. Someone get some vegetables. And at the end of the day, you got a family. You don't expect one boy to go down by the supermarket and buy two cars of food and bring it to you. Just be, you know what I mean? Because we try to help each other. And we just need to be content. I mean, you might survive. What are we going to do with this here? But let me tell you something, Tony. One time I wanted something to eat. I can say something. It's not, I did not in a hurry. I called a friend and tell him. He sent $10. Yeah, I look at the $10 and I just tell myself, he must have thought he wanted for me. But I wanted to buy something up for about four people. I didn't mention that. Many months, and I tell my family member, listen, go to the supermarket, right? And see if you can buy with this here, man. Right? The bot. I even know what I bought. But when the cook, Mr. Johnson, when we finish,
yeah, the everybody, good
meal. Everybody have one son left back. But you said that could only be the hands of your God.
So look, there are people who could take. So there are people who could take a little and make a lot of it. There are people who, if you give them something that's unusual, they would enjoy it. And there are some people who must have what they must have. I remember going to a very nice location in St. Vincent on a Sunday where they offered me a seafood buffet free of cost for me and the person who accompanied me on the trip. And the person said to me, "Mr. Johnson, it's Sunday." I said, "Yeah, I know." "This is fish." I said, "Yeah." "And?" He says, "Sunday, so it's macaroni pie and fried chicken." I tell him, "Well, tell you what, go by Kentucky down the road. I'll take your share and carry it back to your hotel and have it for leftovers." There are people who make those kinds of determinations, sir, based on their eating habits. They must have. And it's not one or two persons. If you see pictures from all over the place, and people been sending all kinds of pictures about drive-thrus open for KFC and Chefette got lines and people blocked up, it means that there are people who have been weaned on those things, who see it as being necessary. When I hear the arguments, for example, of people talking about chicken wings, I don't like chicken in the first place. I don't think there's anything on a wing anyhow. So by the time you get to a wing ding, which when I knew chickens, they didn't have dings, you know, I kind of wonder what it is. There are people who like fowl foot. You know, I can't see why I would eat it. I really can't. As I said, I don't like chicken. And then Peter goes on and on and on about pork. You know, and so there are things that people, their taste and their wants, and they use that as being the reason why they buy certain things. If you give me green bananas and saltfish, I'm good. You can give me for breakfast, lunch. We can't give me for dinner because I can be up all night. But I won't sweat whether it's Saturday or Sunday that you give me green bananas and saltfish. As a matter of fact, you can give me saltfish anyhow. Bacon saltfish, you know, saltfish pie, rice and saltfish. I just like saltfish. There are people who don't like it. So it's a matter of taste. And there are people who say, you give me corned beef and you give me tuna, but I can have that every day, you know, because they can't think of a creative way to do it. They only know fried chicken. So it's taste, sir. It's taste. "Good morning, Dennis," says the WhatsApp. "I heard a PR person from Bra on Brass Stacks yesterday," can't remember that, "stating, among other things, that all locations are open but for payments only. There are several people trying to file their tax returns but cannot because of access due to their inability to log on. When they try the forget password option, that's not working and calling is a no-no. Can you put out an appeal to Bra to inform us how to resolve this matter?" Okay, couple of things. One, Bra said that at this time of the year, they're inundated with messages about passwords not working. I raised my hand because I was one of them. I sent them an email and immediately got a response saying that they saw the message and that they're working on it. I followed it up with another email and I got a temporary password. I changed the password and it worked. I called Bra and I got an answer from a lady. And I stated the challenge I was having and I got a response to that too. Now, I don't know why it worked for me and why it doesn't work for you. I can't tell you why. But I do know that if you send them an email, you get a response. Unless COVID has shut them down and, you know, there's nobody responding. And they could respond from home, depending on who's monitoring the emails. But I have put the appeal out and hopefully they will respond to you. But that's the process that works is to send an email to, you go Barbados Revenue Authority, TAMIS, and you follow the prompts. You send an email saying you've forgotten the password, give them an email address to respond to, and if not, follow it up with another one and another one or a call. May get through eventually. The call in may, as I said, be that the people who are there handling payments are not able to answer the phone. Yesterday at 7:30, there was a line outside the revenue paying office here by the mall in the city. So I know people are paying their taxes from 7:30 in the morning. Brass Stacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Just a couple of things here, really.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing has to do with the...
you really should stop doing that, you know.
What's that?
That's saying the strip that you keep making these big, loud screams on the air with. It, you know, it. You keep doing it. But anyhow, go ahead. I think it's a reaction. But anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, let me continue.
Yeah.
The first thing it has to do with, what is your take on the Sandy Lane Trust Fund and how they distributed the these vouchers to the constituency offices of the MPs?
What's my take on it?
Uh-huh.
That's the option that they choose to use.
The question that remains, was it a very wise option?
What is your suggestion for a wise option?
I suggested yesterday that they could have looked
at... So if you suggested it yesterday, why are you suggesting it to me again today? Because you want
because
me to say
something?
Because
they want your views on
so it. Why is my view important to you, though? I keep wondering that, and you won't answer me. I think you just lie down and dream about me at night, you know, that's dangerous. I heard you telling David Ellis the other day that you hope I listening and talk something about some percentage. And the discussion you had wasn't with me, it was with Lisa Gale about finding out the percentage of deaths in Barbados to COVID cases. That had nothing to do with me.
I was continuing the conversation with David Ellis, which I had with you the day before.
So, but you had no conversation with me the day before about anything to do with percentages, nothing at all. Go back and listen to the podcast.
Mr. Johnson?
Absolutely, positively sure.
I don't do
nothing but mathematical calculations. I know nothing about maths. So you could not be having a conversation with me about mathematical calculations about death and COVID. None. I tell you, you had the wrong dreams at night. You need to get me out of your head.
Go and sit down and
do something else, man. Tell me.
You think what? I let you get away with that word, but I'm not
Thank
sure
you very
that.
Much. Thank you for letting me get away. Go ahead.
The second one, it has to do with the problem that arising with the surgeon at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Was the surgeon in his rights to come on the air and disclose what he thought was right or what he thought was wrong?
The hospital says they did not have permission so to do.
The hospital said that Ms. Biner said that he did not have that permission to come on the radio.
Who
determined that?
Sir, that's why they have a meeting with him. The board determined, she's the executive of the board, and the board determined that he didn't have their permission, and therefore they've called him to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's democracy at the best.
Sir, what makes you think that the hospital is run on democracy? You're like throwing this word around, you know. If I sat here and criticized Starcom Network and the CEO of the Nation Group that manages Starcom Network or the station manager says to me, I don't think as a staff member of Starcom Network, you were allowed to make that statement you made. I can tell him about democracy or I will pull up my contract and see whether or not as a talk show host, I have permission to criticize Starcom Network, but as an employee, I do not. And then ask, what am I when I sit here, an employee or a talk show host? And we have a discussion on that. That ain't got nothing to do with democracy, sir. That has to do with my contract and what it states, and whether or not I could be disciplined for something that runs counter to my contract. That's not
Mr.
why
Johnson,
people just throw around that word.
Mr. Johnson,
yes,
there
sir.
Are areas that I could understand where that would come into effect. When we talk about these areas that I'd be looking at, areas like where you have, like in America, where you've got...
So stop comparing Barbados to America. It's not the same constitution. It's not the same arrangement. And we keep throwing these Trojan horses across the path. Not mine. I'm sharper than that.
Do you not watch the NA?
So I tell you already, I don't watch nothing.
Uh-huh.
You don't get that.
No,
what about that you don't get?
I don't understand it.
You don't
because
understand
you
it? Why you don't understand it? Tell me why you don't understand
living,
it.
You're living here, and you say you don't watch what's happening overseas.
That is correct.
So how do you know what goes on overseas then?
A little fairy does come and tell me in the night when I'm not thinking about you.
Oh, I see. Thank you, sir.
So let me ask you this, right? You live in Barbados. You question what I say. You question what the papers in Barbados write. You question what the government of Barbados say. You question the ministers, what they say. But you believe whatever CNN tell you, why?
No, I don't believe everything.
So why you look at it?
Because I need to have to broaden my prospects in life.
And you think that looking at CNN broadens your perspective in life?
I have a better understanding of what's going on in the outside world.
Really? Really?
Yes, related to the local politics.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. I am fascinated by that fact. I really am. You know, let me read this email and respond. I understand your position, the WhatsApp says, but your potential criticism or lack thereof at Starcom cannot have the same impact on the health and well-being of sick patients. The point I was making, sir, was that it's about contracts and what a contract allows you to do, and that is what the doctor will be asked to respond to. There is a regular caller to Down to Brass Tacks who always raises the issue of government ministers swearing to keep secrets from the public because they take this oath that, you know, what they say in cabinet will remain there. And he usually fulminates on the fact that as a citizen of Barbados, they should not be keeping secrets from him. But the question to be determined is the breaking of the contract or the breaching of whatever is in his contract supported by an urgent need for the public to know, and that's what the board will have to determine. But the issue will boil down to contractual obligations and did you breach it? And then the next question that will be asked is, did you breach it in the public interest or, you know, was the breach for another reason? And that's what will be determined. I get the point, but the issue is contract. And whether it was breached and whether it was breached in the national interest or not, that's what you can boil down to after all the, you know, the dressing is taken off the wound. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I called about an issue which I would like to put out there and probably to hear your views on. As you know, we are experiencing this pandemic as a result of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And that has resulted in a lot less traffic on the roads. Less traffic means less accidents. And indeed, last week we heard a representative of the police department came out and say that there has been a substantial reduction in the amount of accidents
mm-hmm.
on our roads.
Mm-hmm.
I recently read where the insurance companies in North America, they're
giving rebates.
One company said it has already sent out $1.2 billion in checks, cash checks, to their customers as a result of the reduction in claims, which resulted from a lack of traffic on the road during the COVID period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just wondering if it is, if our insurance industry here would consider such a program, given that they would have accrued some savings during this period of pandemic and less traffic on the road. They would have accrued some savings because of less claims coming in, and would there be amenable to returning some of those savings to their clientele in a tangible way, i.e. a check or cash?
That, sir, is stretching it. That, sir, is stretching it. They may tell you they give you a credit on next month's or next year's thing, but a check in cash? Nah. I don't see it as being their practice. I'm not saying it's not something that would be nice, but I just don't see it as being a practice that I have seen over the years. Insurance companies seem to have a reluctance to give out checks in all kinds of cases. And I think it'll be stretching the kindness a bit to expect to get a check from them. They may tell you, we're giving you a reduction or we're giving you a you know, credit on next year's whatever. You know, they give you a no-claim bonus. They may give you a reduction bonus, but a check, don't hold your breath. You can get blue in the face before that happens.
I would just like to finish by saying that if you depend on reinsurance, as I we do it,
mm-hmm.
and some of the people that you are reinsuring with are
have dropped the premium.
Their customers,
mm-hmm.
why can't you follow the same thing? I mean, I wouldn't mind a discount or whatever you see, whatever they choose to do. But in these hard times, I would rather prefer a check. Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, sir. I could see why you would want it. I think everybody would want a nice, you know, a little piece, but I could tell you, but it has stretching hope a little bit for me. Brassdax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I am all right, and you?
Not too bad. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Second page of today's paper, COVID-19 patient number 89, Liz Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I remember back 6 weeks ago, the Ministry of Health and the other stakeholders could not, because of whatever purpose, name anybody who had the coronavirus. Remember?
Yes, sir, I do.
Now, all of a sudden, COVID patient number 89, Liz Thompson. Why?
Two reasons I suppose I could think of, but I don't know that either is accurate. One, they were concerned that perhaps there would be a leak and it would be more devastating to try to respond thereafter. They would be accused of cover-up. Or perhaps the ambassador was not against people finding out.
No. Anybody should not be against people finding out, because people find out anyway, somewhere down the road. I just think it's a bit absurd that they should, you know, all of a sudden start naming people because it's the ambassador. And I wish her well. Don't get me wrong. I know her personally. But I just think it's not right. It's not right.
Okay, sir. I know people are asking, who is the other passenger?
I bet you that name's not published, although the other passenger apparently has not got the virus.
No, but here's the thing, and this is why I made the observation that I made. Are you allowed to leave New York because of the prevalence of the virus there without being tested?
Mm-hmm.
So if both the ambassador and passenger number two were allowed to leave New York, were they tested? If they were tested, were they both negative then? And when they arrived in Barbados, if the ambassador is positive, but the other passenger tested negative, are they being quarantined for a second test so that we suddenly don't discover a week, 2 days, 4 days down the road that the other person is? For example, how long have the cruise ships been outside in the harbor?
Long time.
Okay. And yesterday we suddenly have someone who's tested positive?
Correct.
So he would have gotten it, or she would have gotten it from where?
Correct.
So, because it has not been 2 weeks. So if that person on the cruise ship has been out there since, let's say, I don't know, the beginning of March, the middle of March, we're into
May,
2 months ago,
yeah.
Right? So we suddenly have a case that has come up after a ship has been out there for over 6 weeks, which means a quarantine period of 2 weeks.
Been gone,
exactly. So my question is, how many other cases are out there waiting to be discovered? Do we have the capability to handle another spike, as with the NAB? The National Assistance Board, I mean, not the other NAB. And those questions are the things that run through my mind about this whole reporting and the way questions are not being asked when a GIS release comes out. Because those are the things that I find we should hear something about.
Correct.
The Church of the 30 Lost Souls, the sanctuary in the city where, you know, one paper, Monday's paper, said 3 people, and today's paper says 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an additional one that wasn't known to be a member of the church previously, but has now confessed to being a member of the church. I think the way certain people are responding to the data that's being given throws up some interesting questions and leaves a lot of them unanswered, like the one you asked.
Something's not right somewhere.
The white. Oh, something may not be wrong, but it doesn't sit right either. It's strange. It really is. And I think now, and this has been my other underlying concern, someone sent me a message saying if the minister's mom sadly is, you know, critical, what difference would it make with her visiting? I said, but suppose the people who are attending to her mother now feel threatened because of the minister testing positive. You know, is it going to affect the care her mother gets because people are now more concerned about their safety?
Yep.
And the other question about the cruise ship passenger.
What about her mother, bless her soul? What about her mother?
Well, and the other question is, are immigration officers and are people on the port, are they now going to be a little more cagey with people who come off the ships for whatever reason? Because we've never been told how often they come off or where they go or what they do.
Yeah.
But they do come off, from what I'm told.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those things are the issues that lie in the background somewhere, but perhaps because they're not sensational enough, we don't ask those questions. Yeah. So, but for me, this contact and who you've been in contact with and the two gentlemen who wouldn't say where they were, and we don't know whether it's community or whether they perhaps are also members of the Sanctuary of the 30 Lost Souls. I don't know. We have a lot of contact going on that people are not saying who they're in contact with or why. That's my worry. But I thank you for raising it, sir. Interesting points. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
A blessed day to you, Mr. Johnson.
And to you too, sir.
Yeah, a blessed day to you. I trust that the week remains that way for you, the station in Barbados and the whole, because this is something that we need to cherish and to pray to God that it continues that way for as long as possible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we try to be as safe and be as caring and concerned for each other, because when God made Adam, God realized that he was not enough for man. He said, you can make another person that Adam can talk to, which is Eve. He needs somebody that he can see, touch, and relate to.
Is that touch getting us into trouble?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I told somebody I lost 10 pounds because I can't get hugged anymore, and they didn't believe me. But,
yeah.
But that touch, that
it means a lot.
It does.
It means a lot.
But that's the first thing babies do, they touch, and we touch them back. And then we tell them no touch after age 3.
And when you left at one, those children look, know how they throw the hand around your neck and they hug you.
So it's the best feeling in the world. That's why
when this man asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, after he told him, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and then the next one is, let's know to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, on these two, rest all the other commandments. If you live by the two of these, you can't go wrong. Cannot go wrong. So that touch is necessary. Mr. Johnson, the way how, as you were pointing out just now, the way how news are being distributed in Barbados, it leaves many to be suspicious and ask the question as to what is happening, what is being hidden, why is it hidden, and all of that. So when things are done that way, it leaves lots of questions in people's mind, and they would love to think that there's a lot of hidden things that ought not to be to reach the public. I guess they may say that it is for their own public safety and that you wouldn't get panic and create in the country, but then if you don't know what's happening, if I don't know you have a bad dog down the road and walk down the road and the same dog can bite me like bit people before.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know what is happening in order to protect yourself and others, you know. Now, someone sent you a, I heard you read, you reading a, some information when someone talk about where you mentioned Barry and Tom Adams and then these new times and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Johnson, the first thing one goes when they're going to buy a property, they examine the foundation to look at the house to see if the walls are cracking. The foundation is, let's say that's the house. Isn't that right?
Yes,
because if there's no foundation, everything will crack and crumble, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I said that, then that question that the people, that person asked, would understand why Barron Adams and those people mentioned, because they are the foundation of what we are now building continuously on. So that should answer the question. Foundation.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the challenge, I think, for most of the people under the age of 30 that I've spoken to. They don't see the relevance of that foundation. What they see is, like the caller who asked me about if I don't watch CNN. That's what their foundation is. Their foundation is what they've seen on cable television and what they've seen on their laptops. They live more in that virtual world than in Barbados. So now, when you talk about plantation days and when you talk about street lights and pipe-borne facilities in the house, to them was the big thing, because that's what they wake up in the morning and they go to the toilet and they flush it and they turn on the tap and there's water and their cell phone charge. And they're good to go. So when you talk about Barrow and when you say, you know, more for the workers, and that's why trade unions don't have the kind of pull today that they had then, because people don't see the need for collective bargaining. It's every man for himself and the top dog wins. That's the world that they live in on a day-to-day basis, sir.
Now, I think, Mr. Johnson, that because of the lack of love and care for value is what is causing people to have these glitter and glamorous thoughts. Now I talk about, and I mention very often that, let's say you or I, we had accumulated some wealth or anything else to that value, maybe not cash, but, you know, in our properties and so on. And we had to leave those things for our children because of the fact that they came along and they find that they can turn on the light here, television over there,
radio over there,
and so on. They don't regard that the value of,
because we don't teach
is
them,
being left. So what they do, where my father left it, they vamped it away, and then not even, because they're so shallow in the thought that down the road, they don't regard their children's children, what they are going to be suffering as a result of their lack of care and value in these things. So persons who have these thoughts, this is why we fall short all the time. When I say we, I mean, and I talk and I mention that us as well, because then I've lived in the country where I've resided in Barbados, where I live and born and bred in Barbados. So I have to talk about us, and I have an opportunity to compare what the two sexes, or let's say the two ethnic groups, do and so on. I have an opportunity to observe those things. And it is not that we don't have the education. We do have it, but then I don't know if it's because I believe that we have not been taught those fundamental values and the care to, because of when I think of our universities and how our children go up there and they're educated and then they come back looking for somebody to give them a job, and they don't think of using that same education to promote themselves and to see themselves as a person who can, the same way they can go in somebody's office and work and save their monies and watch out for their pennies and so on. They don't do that, see? And I like, And I regard when Mr. Nasser speak to you, when you speak to other moderators as well. And I like the thought when he, I think he exposed it with you some time ago, where he said that his thoughts is that businesses and barbers should consider giving their workers a share in those companies.
Company.
And I'll tell you why I like that thought, in that you will find if that starts to happen, you're going to get productivity going up in government as well. You're going to get persons not going to stick out. Either person may have got a headache or so, they can still come to work and work because they realize that
it is their business.
Are part of that company. And they care and concern for promotion and doing it better or increasing the productivity and a better job will be there. You know?
So it is a hope that they do that. Eh? But again, I will tell you, the reason why I support what Brother Nasser says and why I share some of his beliefs in that area. My challenge is that today, because of people's belief that they are independent, they are solo, it's them and the rest, you know, it's not there. Their reaction to being a part of building up team is perhaps not as strong as it was in my generation. Let me put it that way. If you listen to the message being sent by governments, including the present one and the last one here in Barbados, entrepreneurship, build your own business from home, work. And when you pick up the newspaper and you read, this person started their own business, that person started their own business, what you get is own. I own. This is mine. And it's not about us, it's not about we, it's not about building a community. So the thrust to say, let's be a part of this, let's get shares in the company and we all share in the profits, that thinking is dwindling away under the pressure of, I want to be my own boss and work for myself. That individualistic way of, I will get ahead and, you know, rest of you catch, has taken root, and it is not in the mindset of a lot of people, well, perhaps a lot of people I listen to, about sharing and being a part of a unit. But going back to what you started saying at the beginning, I also believe that no man is an island and we can't survive on our own. But COVID tells me it's different, so I got to learn a new way, I guess. Thanks for your contribution. Let me respond to this one. Someone sent a message here to me saying that I make it sound as though the U.S. news media is, you know, of no import. I don't like to look at television because I firmly believe that television is being used for mind conditioning more than for giving of information. Once upon a time, the news was fact. What happened? There was an accident down the road. Two cars collided at the corner of X and Y. Today, when I look at television news, and it has happened for a long while, that's why I pulled up, what I see is one person giving the news and then four people giving their opinions. So the news is more opinion these days than what the actual facts are. I read newspapers, almost every Caribbean newspaper, from 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes from midnight to 1 o'clock. I'm up reading all the newspapers in the Caribbean, international stories, to find out what's happening. So when I sit behind this mic, you know, I could talk to people about what's current. I do every day. I sleep for 3 hours. So between, from the time I go home, 10 o'clock in the night to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, ask anybody who send me odd messages at 1:39 a.m. and ask me why you're up. I was asking, why you send me a message? If you don't expect me to answer, why you send me a message? As we up reading newspapers. And 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm at it again. I don't look at television because people get more fascinated by, you know, how many people and their qualifications that I don't know whether it's real or not. I go through the news, read it. I get the bias. I get the fact from the trivia, because when they write, they tend to let their bias be known a lot easier than when they sit and babble. Plus, I don't like the American accent. That's the underlying thing. And I could say so openly, because people don't like our accent either. You know, they can't understand Jamaicans. I can't understand Americans. Full stop. You know. I'm being sarcastic. For those who don't get it, when I am being sarcastic. Brass Tax, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Dennis, Granville Phillips calling.
Sir, how are you?
Right. Yes, I'm well. I just wanted to discuss a couple of issues.
Mm-hmm.
One being this apparent change in protocol of reporting COVID positive cases. And the other one being just the design of buildings. Mm-hmm. I think I'll start with the design of buildings, because that's actually quite important.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that we should be designing buildings in Barbados to Category 5 hurricane loads. When the strong Category 4 and 5 hurricanes visit our neighbors, they cause considerable damage to hotels and businesses, and some of the hotels may not rebuild quickly. Actually, some may not rebuild at all. They may take the insurance money and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a post-COVID environment when the hotel sector may be a little uncertain. So we now have a number of hotels going up. You have the Hyatt, we have the Crane expansion, the Sam Lord's, Castellan, some of the West Coast. There's about $2 billion.
Sandals.
Yeah, well, that too, yes. And then we have, including about $2 billion of investment. There should be some incentive for persons to build a Category 5. Normally, what you would hear developers say is that it's unaffordable. So I can care. It's not unaffordable. And those who make that assertions, those assertions probably never looked at the two costs to compare them. So you may end up spending maybe about 5% or so more. So the suggestion is for the government to waive VAT on construction materials for those developers who choose to build to Category 5. And therefore, that's in our benefit, because it's in our benefit after the earthquake or after the hurricane for business to resume quickly. So we want hotels, and we want the experience for the traveler to, we have a Category 5, and they say, well, that was a pleasant experience. Similarly, our houses should all be designed to Category 5. And as an incentive, we should get a waiver of the VAT on construction materials. This already happens for those whose house costs under $400,000. But we get nothing in return. They still build to maybe some Category 1, or according to our building code, it should be Category 2. And very few people actually comply with the building code.
Mm-hmm.
So we are building a little tropical storm.
Let me ask this question, Granville.
Yes.
There are places in the United States, because of the susceptibility to destruction by nature, let me put it that way, where they go the opposite way. Build it as cheap as possible so it could fall down and we could put it back up. Is there a benefit to doing that at all? Or do they do it because they have access to construction material in greater number and at lesser price than we do? In other words, they could put together a wooden house in, you know, for, I don't know, $40,000 or $60,000 or some, you know, what we would consider a small price.
Yes, well, it all depends. There are some... They have sort of thrown up their hands and decided that they cannot...
It's easier to lick it down.
No. They cannot design to a tornado level strength.
Okay.
You're talking about 200 miles an hour and up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they say, well, we cannot design for that, and therefore they have the standard kind of low. Mm. Not in Florida. In Florida, they actually have a band for 200 miles an hour, which is Category 5.
Okay.
So they are... Why we don't do it, I don't know. Well, again, the reason is simply someone has been misleading some people for decades in Barbados claim it that it is prohibitively expensive. And whenever you talk about designer to higher levels, they say, oh, it's too expensive. It is not too expensive. And it's about time that we actually compare both costs and realize how inexpensive it actually is.
But
and
again,
give the incentive of a waiver on the VAT materials, or the VAT on materials, for those who are willing to design to Category 5.
Now, two things, Granville, on what you've said.
Yes.
One, and both of them, is something called public perception. That's just my interpretation of it. One, Barbadians have come along with the friend helping you to build your home, a draftsman do the drawings for you concept,
yes,
because that at the time kept the cost down. They always figured that the architect design house was far more expensive because you pay the architect more, the house is more, you know, elaborate, and therefore the costs are higher. So that's still the perception that's ingrained in some people. And yeah, then you get the other perception that if you don't pay in the house, you don't pay full taxes. So you see a lot of finished houses in Barbados with the patio painted, but the rest of the house not painted. The other thing is, how do you change those perceptions? And the most important one from what you've said is the belief that even if you take the VAT off of the
material,
the person selling you still jack up the price so they don't lose the VAT, because that's what we believe. VAT come off, but the price instead of coming down goes up on too many items, and people will give you a whole list of things that they know it happened with, and it's ingrained somewhere in the psyche, Granville.
Yes.
And how do you get it out?
Yeah, well, let me try it for 20 years, actively.
You getting anywhere?
What I've decided to do is to design a typical, you know, 1,000 square foot starter house, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, kitchen, pantry, etc., to Category 5, and have that freely available to anyone to just download across the region.
Mm-hmm.
And at least then people will have at least the details for the roof and foundations and walls, and even though they're houses may vary, the geometry may vary. If they use the details that are provided, then that should be okay.
Okay.
So that's as a gift really to the Caribbean. As far as this, for architects, whether they go for architect or a draftsman is really up to them. But again, the whole design will be made freely available for the typical starter house.
Okay.
So they could just use that and go ahead and build it, and hopefully we'll come in very low. I'm looking at hopefully in the region of about $150 a square foot. So, but we'll see how it goes. I should finish that in a couple of months. The other thing I wanted to talk about, though, was this change in protocol in reporting COVID-19 cases. I was really surprised when I heard. Well, before we were informed that, you know, we were not allowed to know the village, the district, or the parish, or anything about
COVID positive.
Nothing,
mm-hmm,
right? And the reason being for this secrecy was to avoid all the stigma and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
We are one country, Barbados. We are all in this together. There's no room for division during this crisis. And lo and behold, I heard that there was the church thrown to the wolves of social media. It's mostly a small church, not any church, a small church in Bridgetown with a membership of about 30, and three had tested positive. So that automatically includes the large Anglican, Methodist, and Moravian churches in Bridgetown. And then they started speculating about whether they had broken protocol. Fortunately, the acting chief medical officer admitted there was no evidence to support that, but it was a reckless public speculation by the ministry. They didn't need to do it. So, as if that were not enough now, we now hear that they have released the name of the next positive case, the lady, and then released all this information about her not going to the mandatory isolation that the rest of us must endure. All that was unnecessary. It's like they're throwing her now to the wolves. So I'm concerned about this change, and this is a consistent in that there's no rational explanation for them. So I personally believe, and the Solutions Barbados really believes, that the current managers are just exhausted, and they're now making decisions that are not benefiting us. So the recommendation is give them a 2-week vacation, let them rest, and then they can resume their duties, fully recharge, and they will benefit us all. But right now, with these crazy decisions, I think they're just exhausted, and they're just making things that are not helpful.
Thank you very much, sir, for your contribution.